We are so excited to be finishing up our series on wisdom. And the last week and today, we are answering the question, how do I know if I'm wise? Pastor, we've talked about wisdom for weeks and weeks and weeks now, but how do I know if I'm wise? So I don't have any slides from last week. I don't have any review because I had a whole pile of them this week. Last week we talked about some of the normal things. You know, I take advice and I listen, you know, to people's instructions. I value the opinions of others. I fear the Lord. You know, a lot of stuff that we had already reviewed. A lot of the things that we're going to hit today are brand new verses. And here at COC, we believe in equal opportunity. So if you're not offended by a third of the way into the message, just hang on. It's coming. Your turn's coming. So you're going to have all kinds of opportunities this morning to take your feathers and have them ruffled. If it's me doing that, come and talk to me, and I will apologize. If it's the Word of God doing that, talk to Jesus, and you guys figure that out. Okay? Because there's a difference. I'm not trying to be offensive, but the Word of God carries with it an offense for our flesh, doesn't it? Amen? Anyone ever had their flesh get offended from the Word of God? Has anyone ever read the Word of God? Because if you have, your flesh has gone, "Ugh, I don't like that." Because it's contrary. Say contrary. Big word. It's against. The Word of God is against our flesh. I don't just mean our body. I mean the sin nature part of our flesh. Right? The old man. And so we recoil against that. So hopefully today, our hearts are open. The Word of God is going to plant in us, and we're going to see a great harvest. But I'm just going to give you the instruction like last time. We're just going to do a little test. So last time I had these all listed out. I don't have that this morning. So if you want to remember one, you'll have to go back to the video or listen online or whatever, or write it down, because I don't have like a final slide with all of these listed out. So I figured by that time, everyone's going to be so grumpy that I'm just kidding. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. But we're answering the question, how do I know if I am wise? First point. Proverbs said in verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So again, with all of these verses, with all these points, we're asking, we're doing a little self-evaluation today. We're holding up the mirror of the Word of God in our lives and saying, where do I fall on these scales here, on 0 to 100 or 0 to 1 to 10 or whatever? Am I walking with wise people? And if your answer back to that, well, there's no one else around in my entire life that's wise, just me, we need to go back to the other Proverbs and look at, like, it's maybe that opinion that's a little off, and not so much that there's not wisdom around you. John, Jim's not here for me to talk to, so I might talk to you today some, John. They're already quiet. We're only one verse in. I just thought this was pretty easy stuff so far. Okay, so walk with the wise and become wise. You guys ever notice how couples that stay together for a long time end up looking the same? I don't know. Which one of us is, oh, dear Jesus, let it be like Marnie. Or how sometimes pet owners, these are real people and they're real pets. I thought before I really just torque you guys all off, we'll have some fun and look at pet pictures, right? Maybe I should have saved this to the end, but sometimes we end up looking like those that we're closest to, or there's the little boy with his pet there, and there's that guy with his puppy there. There's that gal, yep, exactly. Can you see the resemblance in some of these? Got to put a member of the clergy in there, of course. Grandma has her puppy as well. Muffy, I don't know, maybe. And then there's that guy. Why are we showing silly pictures of people and their pets? It's because those that we hang out with on a regular basis and give access to the inner parts of our life, we start looking alike. This is not my quote, but it's an unknown quote. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. So let me look at the verse again. Walk with the wise and become wise, because a companion of fools suffers harm. Well, what if you're wise, but you hang out with fools? You won't be wise for very long, and you're going to suffer harm, even if, you know, right? Guilt by association. Anyone ever heard that before? That used to frustrate me as a kid, as a teenager, but it's so true. Well, if you wouldn't be with them, you wouldn't be getting blamed for stuff. Because as parents, we know that if you're with them, eventually you're going to be like them. Because here's what happens. When people get, and I'm not talking about, well, the Bible tells me I can't hang out with fools, and so you're walking through teals. Oh, that guy's a fool. Got to go around here. That's not what we're talking about. Come on, let's be serious. We're talking about the inner circle of our life, the people that we open up our hearts to, the people that we share moments with the most. And at work, you're just kind of stuck there with them, okay? So you make the best of that. We're talking about intentional choosing of people that we allow in our lives and give access to our lives. Because here's what happens. We partner. We start to partner with people. We start to share values. We share experiences. We share ideals. We start to share funny stories about what could happen in the future. And those funny stories start to seep into our heart, and they start to become maybe real core values that we carry. And pretty soon, we're a fool. Pretty soon, wisdom has left us, because we're not walking with the wise. So be very careful about who's on the inside circle of your life. Not that you walk around some pious, jerk, whatever. Just be wise. Be careful about who you're giving access, right, to the core areas of your life. And I hope that you've got some people that you allow in there, and you let them, like Stephen said, ruffle your feathers a little bit and speak to issues in your life, because they love you and they want to see you grow, and they don't want to see you train wreck, right? Okay, we made it through one. We did all right. Okay, we'll go on to the next one. Good enough? We looked at pets. There's no more pet pictures, so I guess it's just me and you guys from here on out. Proverbs 14:3 says, a fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. So answering the question today, how do I know if I'm wise? Well, let me hear you talk for a while. John? We're good. I just checking. Make sure you're still with me, because I can't do this alone. If we had a recorder set up throughout the week, and at the end of that week, we all came in together as a church, and we just picked a different person each week, we're going to evaluate your words this week. How many get the wise light going off? How many get the right? Where the trap door opens up and you fall into the pit of crocodiles or whatever. Like, how many of us with the words, wow, that was a rough week? Okay, what about the week before that? What about the week before that? Were your words, why are your words gracious? Are they life-filled, or are they foolish words? Well, what are foolish words? They're words that come into agreement with things that aren't godly. Their language that's not appropriate for a holy believer. Their ideas that run contrary to the Word of God. Their proclamations of faith that don't line up with kingdom. You see, you guys have a lot of faith. Just often, it's just not in Jesus. Okay, John, now I need you. Right? We speak these things out. We've been given creative power with our words. And so wisdom tells me to shut it up and watch what I'm saying, because there's power in my words. Well, I just want to know if I'm wise or not. Well, yeah, I talk a lot and whatever. That in itself, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, the Bible will tell us. Sometimes we need to listen more and talk less. Amen? Okay, we're good. I think we're going to make it through this one. Yes. But if we want to have a litmus test, how's your language? I'm not just talking about, do you cuss like a sailor or not? I mean, that's included in there. Do you have building up and edifying language? Do you have language that's filled with life, or is your language filled with death? Do you have language that honors God, or does it honor yourself? Do you have language that is full of hope and joy, because that, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Is your mouth pregnant with the fruit of the Spirit? Or is it got leftover sewage in it? Right? What's coming out of there? The wise know that my words carry power for my own life, for the life of others. Sometimes when I want to tell you what I really think, sometimes I need to not. Just leave it at that. Just don't. It's okay if they don't know what you think about this whole thing. It's okay if you didn't get your two cents in there. It's okay because that's wisdom. You know why it's so quiet now? Because we're all guilty. You know why else is so quiet? It's because wisdom is akin to discipline. They go hand in hand. Remember wisdom and instruction? That word instruction is often translated discipline. So when we crack open the book of Proverbs and start finding out, we've covered all this, but we start finding out, how do I get wise? I want to be wise. Yeah, sign me up for wise. Well, who wants to be a fool? Psh, not me. I want to be wise. Well, the very next word in that, wisdom, and it's a package deal, discipline. Can I just read a book? Right? Right? Can I just acquire something that doesn't require a lot of me? No, you can't. You cannot. Wisdom is a forming and a changing of our character to fit into wisdom's mold. So sometimes we're like, my heart loves Jesus, but my mouth's a little behind. You know, well, let's let it catch up, because our words are indicators of how wise or how foolish we are. The fool's words becomes a rod that beats him. You don't have to raise your hands. How many of you have ever said something that's come back to haunt you and you wished that you could have not said that? How many ever had an oops? You open your mouth, maybe it was even true, you know? Maybe you just blurted out something you shouldn't have said and you felt the sting of that later on in life, right? That's what this verse is talking about, among other things. Let's let that be a challenge to us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, who's going to get mad now? Proverbs 21 says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. How do I know if I'm wise? Are y'all getting wasted? You're not wise, right? I'm just going to lay it out there, say what you want about it. I'm just telling us the word of God here this morning. And I think the key word there is led astray. Who do we want leading us? I mean, I want Jesus leading. I want the Holy Spirit leading. Forget about wine and beer. I've got enough trouble when I'm leading me, right? What happens when I'm leading me? Nothing good, right? Derail, man, right into the ditch. And it's so easy. Actually, if you want to lay out the blanket topics of Proverbs, this would be one of the 8 or 10 kind of topics that Proverbs hits, because it's so deceptive. It's so easy to, you know, to get sucked in, and all of a sudden something else is leading my life and making decisions for me and creating havoc in my life. It's in a place, and this can happen with anything. This can happen with anything, but, you know, just it starts to capture our hearts in a way that's unhealthy and in a way that's overbearing, and it starts to lead my life. So we'll get off that, but I couldn't not share that because it's one of the big themes of Proverbs. Watch out. Just be careful. Proverbs 17:24 says, sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom. So wise people keep wisdom in view. There's another verse that says exactly that. But a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. I chewed on this verse for a while. I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to say in this verse? What are you hinting at? What is the nugget of wisdom that's in here? And I threw out some some ideas. And I don't think that all the ones that I'm going to show you, I think there's a lot more than that. But I'm just going to give you just a seed of what I think this verse is talking about. So wise people, sensible people, we keep wisdom in view if we're wise. If I'm not wise, my view starts to wander to the ends of the earth. What does that mean? Let me give you some thoughts of what I think it means. I'm talking about people that are quick to look for shortcuts. They're quick to look for the easy way out. They chase fantasy. You ever known anybody? Have you ever been? I've been that guy before. Well, I've got this dream, and you're just going to do it. And I'm talking about a good God dream that requires some steps. I'm just talking about, you know, I'm not doing something because I'm going to win the lottery next week. And we've known people that live like that. Well, I don't need to because I'm probably going to, you know, whatever. Like you've got this fantasy that that's what's going to happen. And it's not based in reality. Or get rich quick stuff. Anything that is not doing the hard work day in and day out. Because it's wisdom and discipline. And so when my heart and my eyes start chasing fantasies, because I don't like just showing up again tomorrow. And I'm not talking about being bored with your job or something like that. I'm talking about, okay, I've got to go home and we've been a little bit tense between old Marno and myself here lately. And I just, maybe there's someone that's easier to live with, right? You know, I don't like chasing fantasies, looking to the end, like, it's no. I'm going to go and we're going to grab each other by the hair and we're going to look nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball and say, oh, this is hard and I don't like this. Here's what I think. Here's what I'm feeling. I feel like this when you do that. And she's going to listen to me because she's respectful. And then she's going to say, I feel this when you do this and this and this. And I'm going to listen and I'm going to say, well, what are we going to do about this? This is both a problem for both of us. Yep. But we're going to do the hard work. We're going to do the hard work. And pretty soon, I just challenge you to try this. Like, physically, actually grab each other by the hair. By about, like, don't pull, like, don't hurt each other, but nose to nose. I promise you, by three sentences in, you won't even remember what you were fighting about anymore. You're like, dude, you got garlic breath. Like, well, you got a booger in your nose. Like, pretty soon you'll be laughing. You know, like, that's just free marriage advice right there. You know, go ahead, just try that. It's good stuff. But a fool, their heart is just prone to the shortcut. You're always looking for the easy way out. a while ago, I suppose it's been a number of years now, but copper was so expensive. And so everybody was getting wiring stolen out of their houses. And, you know, now it's, what are those, catalytic converters or whatever everybody's cutting out for what's in them, platinum or something? But for a while, it was copper. And so, you know, copper gutters and wiring in houses or whatever. And just people were getting killed going out to substations and cutting wires with, you know, a million volts running through them. And we know people that have had to clean that up. Like, they work for the linemen, you know. Just, it's tragic. But just, they're looking for the easy way out. And so, we were just talking the other day. How many times have you said this? If you would work as hard at just going to work for a day, like you were working harder at not working than you are at actually just doing the thing. Have you ever told your kids that? You could have had those green beans eaten four times by now. You could have had the room, like you're working harder, you're chasing fantasies. You're like, I really feel like that's the heart of that verse. Is the fool is I've got my, you know, it's what's, it's easier. Oh, I don't want to do, and you're just trying to get over, get out, get something for nothing, get out without having to do the work. But see, the good stuff comes after the work. You grab each other's hair enough times, pretty soon, man, this is deep, and this is intimate, and this is rich. And we wouldn't have got there if we would have took the off-ramp at 2 years or 6 years. Or like, go through those rough times, and the hard work yields the fruit. Amen? All right. Proverbs 14:1. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Exactly, huh? Marnie, you want to come preach this one? Yeah, I'm pretty nervous. No, I was nervous before. Now I'm really nervous. Proverbs is talking about women specifically here, but there's a principle that applies to women and men here. It's this idea of, I want this, but I don't want to build it. Because in order for me to build, that requires sacrificing and giving out. It requires looking forward and doing the hard things. But I want this, but I'm going to pursue my own selfish desires when I'm in the middle of it. And it ends up tearing, like, stop being a dork, you kid. You're bothering me. Like, that's not discipline. Yes, you can remind me of this later. That's not discipline. That's you just tearing down things in the moment because you don't like what's happening. Do you see what I mean? It's doing things that are destructive to your home, to your family, to what God has called us to and blessed us with because I don't like it, or I've got a problem with it, or I want to do this, or what about me? And we've got to realize, and this is really tied kind of to the last verse that we looked at, that we've got to be builders. We've got to be builders. See, the great fruit in our life is from building. And it's so easy to tear stuff down. It's so easy to get tired. It's so easy to get frustrated. It's so easy to look at me. What about me? What about my time? And I'm not saying to not be healthy with your choices. I'm not saying to not carve out vacation time or me time. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is so often we sabotage the greater good. We become part of the demo crew instead of part of the builder crew, right? We've got this short-term vision, and all I can see is right here and right now. Anyone ever made a short-sighted decision before? I'll buy the chuckles. I'll say yes, that I agree with that. And you're like, oh, if I would have only looked further, if I would have only stepped back and saw the bigger picture, we can sacrifice now for the good later. And you'll keep seeing this as a reoccurring theme, is if you're being wise or not, am I willing to sacrifice this moment right now for a greater good in the future? And that keeps cropping up. That's the discipline part. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom isn't controlled by this moment. It sees this moment, and if there's action that needs to be taken, great. And it also doesn't want to miss this moment, but at the same time, it's able to keep a bigger picture. So we'll move on with that one. But I don't think anyone's going to get ruffled at this next one. So everyone take a breath. Okay, we can do this. We can get through this next one. It's kind of funny in America because this maybe is not as applicable, but the principles are the same. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the fools gulp theirs down." Are you one of those kids that if you had a dollar in your pocket, it was gone? If you had it in there at two, it was gone by three? Or are you, now, this is not the good and evil part. This is just personality. Are you a spender or are you a saver? Are you, like Stephen would say, do you lean more towards hoarding or do you lean more towards the excessive sides of spending at all? That's not really what that's talking about. It's not talking about personalities. It's talking about, there's a P word that we've said multiple times, prudence. We don't use it in our English language a lot, but we've already hit that word numbers of times in this series. Prudence is giving thought to our ways, thinking about what we're going to say before we say it, thinking about what we do before we're going to do it, examining our situation and looking ahead, right? And that's a thread that kind of runs through a lot of these. And that's what's going on here. As soon as I get something good, man, I'm gonna chomp it all down right now. I'm not gonna think that I might ever share it with anybody. I'm not gonna think that I might need some in the future. Like, let the goodness stretch out a little bit. We don't have to eat all this now. We went a little overboard with our kids. So they would get candy. It's a basket. We have a candy basket. So this Proverbs right now is not talking about food and oil. It's talking about candy for us. Yes. So we've got a candy basket. So our kids would get candy, and we would put it in there, and we always wanted to teach them patience, teach them giving thought to your ways. And so we worked really hard on that. We did it a little too good, because a lot of times our candy goes bad now. And our kids actually grumbled about this the other day. They're like, Mom, Dad, you guys taught us that, but now by the time we go to eat our candy, it's been like 2 months because we're saving it. We're always saving it. We're always saving. Well, we got to save that. We're saving our candy. And then it's all bad. Yep. So we're dialing back. We're going to enjoy the moment, but we don't need to gulp it all down. We don't have to be consumed by that moment. We can give some thought to our future. Can you guys think of any areas in your life that this could be true for? As well, yes. Irv's like, yeah, cupcakes, you guys. Cupcakes. Because I didn't get one. Irv, we found your proverb, right? Irv's preaching this to all you guys. We ate all his cupcakes before he could get one. But in our lives, do we consume things without thought of, do I want to stretch this out? And I'm not just talking about material things. Do you see what I mean? There's, in all of these, there's the surface and then there's a deeper principle. Am I giving thought to others? Am I giving thought for the future? Or how about this one? Self-control. It's fruit of the Spirit. Does that look like self-control? Gulping it down. Now, we're going on vacation. I'm going to do some gulping. Yes. But self-control. See, the Bible is one thread all the way through. And so you see glimpses of New Testament stuff in Old Testament. We're seeing glimpses of fools lack self-control. They're not able to stop at three pieces of cake, George. Yep. It's got to be six, right? No, that's all right. We all have our weaknesses, but on your scale of 1 to 10, as we're doing our self-evaluations, let's just be honest. And you don't need to do it out loud, but just to yourself. How prone am I to give some thought to my future when it comes to even the good things in my life? But this could even be spiritual things. I'm just going to hoard resources or whatever. Like, do I have self-control? Because I'm wise if I do. And you heard me say it before. All of this whole entire series of wisdom really, in New Testament times, could be accessed just by walking in the Spirit. So I've said that multiple times. But often we don't walk in the Spirit. So I like Old Testament, where it's showing us, this is wisdom. This, like, that should be what happens supernaturally in New Testament, where we live now. When the Holy Spirit is controlling our life, guess what? It will look like this. When the Holy Spirit is controlling our life, we're not just trying to tap into Old Testament wisdom here. We're jumping into Proverbs. Guess what? It's still in our Bible. God didn't take it out of there. And he gives some forward thinking to what the fruit of the Spirit is going to look like later. What our lives are going to look like after Jesus comes. Because this is written way before Jesus. But after Jesus comes, we'll be able to walk in wisdom. And it looks like some of this, some of these things. All right? Next one. We're kind of winding towards the end here. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. How many of you guys this week have been staring right at the fence? You haven't been looking over it. I heard that one time. I just thought that was a great illustration. You need to look over the fence, not right at a fence, right? We in our earlier, we talked about where's our eyes? What are we looking at? What are we seeing? How many of you haven't seen the work of God in a relationship or in someone's life? Right? Remember the story about the trees and the cross that was there, and I couldn't see it, and then once I saw it, that's all I could see, right? How many of you guys are stuck just looking at trees? You're just offended. You're just looking at trees. You're just looking at trees. You haven't seen the cross yet. And when you step back and you're willing to yield your heart to the Holy Spirit and say, God, I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be offended. I don't want to be controlling. I don't want to be manipulative. I don't want to be nasty. And all of a sudden you see how, all of a sudden you start to see brokenness in that person's life. And you're like, I didn't even see that before. I could pray for them. But a person's wisdom yields Patience. You see that line about if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit and you're being led by the Spirit, guess what you're going to walk in? Patience, right? You're not going to take offense. But we're going back to some Old Testament times before everybody walked in that, and God was giving a foreshadow of what life in the Spirit was going to look like. And so Proverbs is telling us, man, it should yield patience. See, here's what the difference between godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. Godly wisdom comes from heaven, and it's full of good fruit. And character matters. Wisdom is not just smarts. It's not just getting ahead. It's not just doing life well. It's doing life well God's way. And character always matters. I'm going to try to pop through. We're going to go to the book of James. We're jumping out of Proverbs. And as we end this series, so this is the last couple verses here. As we end this series, I want to take a look in the New Testament where we live now, in the book of James, and talk just a second about heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And because there's this appeal to a wisdom that helps me get ahead and helps me do life well, and yet it doesn't come from the right place. It doesn't come from the right source. So James 3:13, we're going to start there. It says, "Who's wise and understanding among you?" Okay, asking the question, do you feel like you're wise? Now that we've gone through this, all right, you want to be wise? Okay, who's wise? Well, if you are, then show it. Look at somebody. Look at someone across the room and say, show it.
Show it.
Show it. Just show it. How do we show it? Well, we show it by our good life. We show it by good deeds. And all of that is wrapped in humility that comes from wisdom. If your life of so-called wisdom is not breeding, birthing, and expelling everything else but humility from your life, I don't think it's quite what we're going after. If I latch onto wisdom, true wisdom, godly wisdom, it is going to birth humility in me. I'm going to walk low. Guess what, Mary? I'm not going to worry about my entitlement. I'm not going to be offended, because I'm going to walk humbly. I'm going to say, God, you're sovereign. Help this situation to turn out for my good. But ultimately, you're in charge. You're God. I'm not. Right? Wisdom will produce humility. So, scale 1 to 10. Am I walking humbly? Right? If I am, there's a glimmer that I might be walking in wisdom. Just because we're humble doesn't mean that we're wise, but it's a heart of humility. Let's keep going in that chapter there. This is the same verse in a different version. If you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Man, my life should be about touching the lives of others. That's walking in wisdom. Using my words for building people up. Staying low. Not walking in offense. Not having a bitter heart. Viewing things from a step back instead of rushing right in. Having patience. Yielding my heart to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. Next verse says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition. Ooh, yuck. Just yuck. If you collect and hold on to bitter envy, I want that, and selfish ambition, because for me, my ways. If you harbor them in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic, where you have envy and selfish ambition. That seems like such a nasty word, yet we all walk in it most days of our life. There's glimmers of that, and we fight against that. It's called our flesh, right? Our flesh wants what our flesh wants, and it wants it right now. Amen? Anyone with me on that? We're all in that same boat. Our flesh wants what our flesh wants. It's contrary to the will of God, and it wants it right now. That's what we wrestle against. But if you allow that to take place, you find disorder in every evil practice. We're just going to highlight a couple parts in here. If you harbor bitter and envy and selfish ambition, look at this. Two commands here. Don't boast about it, and don't deny the truth. Those are opposite ends of the spectrum there. A lot of people, no one in here, so everyone say, whew, Okay, nobody in here, but people take this worldly wisdom, which is really birthed out of selfish ambition, and it's this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get ahead, and I'm going to go, and I don't care who I have to hurt to get it done. Boy, look at them. Well, they were really smart. They've really gotten ahead. Boy, they seem to really know what to do, right? It's birthed out of this selfish desires and this central idea of me and looking at what I want and seizing it, right? I mean, that sounds like every secular leadership from the 80s and 90s, right? It just, right? Go out and get it and seize the day, right? Carpe diem, right? Go out, you got this. And yet it's birthed out of that. And so people in the church were boasting about it. They're like, yeah, look at what I did. And James is like, yeah, look what you did. Don't boast about it. Or the opposite. Don't deny it. Well, I'm doing it for my kids. It's for so the company's better, right? Don't deny it. Don't deceive yourself. Don't try to create something. If you're walking in a wisdom that's not godly, like trying to get ahead in life, if you're making decisions kind of just based on your gut and Carl down at the coffee shop, right? Like, don't boast about it. Don't deny it. Just come to terms with it and let God put his finger on it. Let's highlight the next section there. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. Listen, but it's earthly. Hold on. It's unspiritual. Come on. Pastor, what's that last word there? Okay, hold on. Is this in the Bible? The wisdom that you and 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 me tap into sometime is demonic. Wait, that's, you're not talking about Christians here. Oh, aren't I? It's the Bible, it's the book of James written to the church. Tapping into this earthly wisdom that's really self-ambition driven and smells of envy. I want what I want, and I'm pretty smart, and I can get it, right? That wisdom is demonic. Everyone say, yowch. Goodness, that is tough stuff. We're just about done. Whew. We're just about done. Because where you have envy and selfish ambition, where this kind of thing is taking place, you find disorder in every evil practice. I want to show you one more verse that has the same Greek word as disorder there. It's translated disorder here. I want to show you another verse in the Bible that has that same word, the same thing. So this, I don't know what the Greek word is, but you're going to find disorder in every evil practice. Okay? It's in Luke 21, 8 through 9. Jesus replied and said, "Watch out that you're not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he. The time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings," that's that same word. Some translations have insurrections, some have rebellions. "Do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Okay, let's go back to the verse here. This disorder. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder, uprising, insurrections, rebellions. Some of us in our pursuit of wisdom that's not birthed from heaven, it's earthly. We're just going off of, you know, what I heard in the news and these are my ideas and whatever. A lot of times that's birthed out of I want. And we don't like to admit that. Don't deny the truth, the Bible says. You are giving opening and seed to a spirit of rebellion. How come there's always so much strife? I just want what's best. What wisdom are we tapping into? And sometimes it's not godly wisdom. Sometimes it's earth. I know we're being kind of, I'm rushing through this. I preached these verses down in Brookings, and it was a whole 45-minute message, so I'm trying to go through them really quick. But I wanted us to hear it, that there's this godly wisdom that looks a certain way, and there's an earthly wisdom that looks appealing, and it gets results, and it seems like it's real, but all of a sudden, there's just always strife. Seems like I'm just trying to do the right thing. I just want what's good for everybody, and I'm just trying to help out, but there's always this strife. It's because that wisdom is birthed in the demonic. Like, holy cow, like, that's intense stuff. Is anyone in the same building as me today? Like, that is just, that's raw and real. And I love James because he's just like, here it is. Here's what's going on. That spirit of uprising, that rebellion, that always ends up happening. There always seems to be kind of this, everyone's just kind of on edge all the time. It's because you're giving permission. You're giving way to a spirit of uprising. Well, I didn't want to do that. Exactly, which is why the Word of God ruffles our feathers in a good way. It opens our eyes, and I want to be one of those that say, yeah, I don't want to do that. Help me when I'm partnering with the wrong kind of wisdom. Last verse here, we're just about done. Oh, wait, I was just going to hit this. The 4 points about that earthly wisdom, it's real and it's appealing, and it's soul-based versus spirit-based. So it seems like it makes sense. And it gets some results, but it opens their life up to nasty stuff. And both wisdoms are outside of us. One's accessing a demonic realm. One's accessing the realm of heaven. That's right. Last part of that. But the wisdom that comes from heaven. So here's your litmus test. Here's what, is it producing this in my life and the people that I'm applying this wisdom to? Is it producing these things? Is it pure? Is it peace-loving? Is it considerate? When's the last time you were considerate? I mean, you guys probably like just today, but like for most people, when's the last time that we just considered others? Submissive? Well, don't say that in 2021. We're not submissive to nothing. Full of mercy? When's the last time that you actively participated in an act where someone intentionally didn't get what they deserve? We're always fighting that people need to get what they deserve. When's the last time that you fought for someone to not get what they deserve? Oh, can't talk about that. Well, James did. It's full of mercy. Good fruit. It's impartial. Yeah, like that's going to happen, right? Well, James said it should if it's from God and it's sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Last that we're done with that. Do we want to be sowing seeds of the demonic kingdom of insurrection, uprising, and rebellions? Or do we want to be sowing seeds of peace? That seems like an easy answer to me. And yet our lives don't always reflect that. Because the wisdom that comes from heaven often calls me to walk humbly. It calls me to take my hands off when I want to control. It calls me to yield. It calls me to give thought to my future when I just want to do what I want to do right now. See, wisdom's not easy. Our flesh fights against it. It's walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Amen? Thank you guys for staying with me and that. See, I never thought about it before I started this today, but I would have removed the bags of tomatoes had I thought about that. Fortunately, no fruit was thrown. No preachers were damaged during this message. But I hope you guys have been challenged in this wisdom series. I hope that our hearts have just been, I hope that it's made us uncomfortable, really, and not in a bad way, not in a, oh, I can never get this, because that's not true at all. It's being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fully available to lead us. But hopefully it's painted a picture of sometimes, let me say this before I'm done. Have you ever heard the words of being led by the Spirit, and you're just like, okay, well, I know Mary knows what that means, and Marnie, and, you know, pastor or whatever, but what are you even talking about? Like, is it like, does he take you like physically by the hand? Like, what are you talking about? Well, wisdom is one of the parts of God's character. So we just gave you a little glimpse over the last 12 weeks of what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you'll be wise, right? So we just fleshed it out in what it looks like in real life. Real life, all these really uncomfortable things that I don't like to read. That's what wisdom looks like. It's not just, yeah, I'm with the Lord and God leads me, right? And then we just go act like we're not. It's practical. It works in our day-to-day life. And it's for your benefit. Wisdom is for your benefit. I just challenge you over the next year to just press into Proverbs a little bit more. See what real life applications of walking in the Spirit looks like. See what it feels like. And let it challenge your flesh. And let the Spirit win. Amen? Let's pray. God, I just bless these people with wisdom, understanding, and insight, and discipline. In the name of Jesus, give us a great week and safety in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.